right, welcome back. More of the Connor Happer Show here on 1620 The Zone. If you missed any of it so far, check it out, the radio replay page. But you won't want to miss this. Parker Gabriel from Lincoln Journal Star joins us now. Hey, Parker.
What's up, dog?
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. You just waiting for the next portal thing to happen?
I guess. I think there might be a curveball or two left for portal happenings this week, but I think most of the portal activity going forward will be for like summer editions. Not to say they won't have any visitors. Maybe you could still get one guy, but with the big fella Nesta Silvera, the defensive tackle from Miami, headed to Arizona State, there's maybe only one or two more guys to have on the radar here for the next few days.
Are you saying that we're slowing down?
I would never say that, because that would just be an all-time jinx.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's like when we make, you know, weather assumptions or something like that on like January 28th. It's like, no, we got some snow that's still coming.
Yeah. Like, okay, I'll give you a perfect example. When Brian Applewhite got hired as Nebraska's running backs coach, I think it was finalized last Friday, maybe. I wrote that Scott Frost's 10-man assistant coach staff for 2022 was complete. And even though that's true, I almost took it out of the story. Because it's just like, you're just asking for the phone to ring or a football scoop update or something like that, where it's, you're just tempting fate when you do stuff like that. So, I think it's slowing down on the recruiting front, except for the fact that Jay Allen, the three-star running back from Monroe, Louisiana, just confirmed to me that he's visiting this weekend, and they've got big junior days each of the next two Fridays, and, you know, there may be one or two guys still in the portal that they're on, you know, still for the next few days.
So nothing definitive. Like, once you say it definitively, that's when you're asking for trouble.
Exactly.
But, I mean, where do they head next? I mean, I think they were really looking for that defensive lineman, may have just missed out, and definitely missed out on Silvera. But is it kind of become like a best available situation now, or a guy that you just have a relationship with, or where are they specifically looking for something still?
Yeah, I think there is definitely a best available element to it at the moment. Honestly, like, for as many defensive backs as they've added, and they just got Javier Morton after the last visit weekend, he committed yesterday. I still think they're looking for a defensive back, and frankly, you know, if there's one out there that they like, I wouldn't be surprised if they still try to make one more move for a defensive back. Obviously, they had Kylan Griffin, who's a high school kid, class of 2022 kid, on an official visit. He's going to be a tough one to land. He's visiting USC and Clemson the next two weekends, but that's definitely still on the board, defensive back, safety in particular, for the class. And I think they really could use another player on both lines. Obviously, they've already got two offensive linemen out of the portal in Hunter Anthony from Oklahoma State and Kevin Williams, the Omaha North grad, who played at Northern Colorado. Mm-hmm. But I think they want one more. They wanted Tremont Shorts. He ended up at LSU. You know, there's some guys there, like, take a guy like Tyler Steen, for example, multi-year starter at tackle at Vanderbilt. I think he's on the radar screen, but not as a mid-year enrollee. You know, there's going to be some, like, this whole thing is going to not fully reset, but you're going to get a fresh wave, not only of people entering the portal, but of attrition from schools too. And Nebraska's needs will maybe look slightly differently midway through or at the end of spring ball than they do right now. And that need, you know, the list of needs might change a little bit between now and then. But I think, you know, one on each side of the line of scrimmage, plus maybe another running back and another defensive back, is a starting point for the list right now.
Parker, one thing that I've noticed, and I talked about this a lot earlier, but one thing I've noticed in Casey Thompson, and I know Sipple talked to Charles Thompson, his dad, one of the things that has kind of been brought up a little bit is Casey's ability to run, and how He didn't get to do that as much at Texas, and maybe that was part of the reason why he had saw what had happened over the last couple of years here and liked that idea of him being able to do that a little bit more in Nebraska's offense. What does that make you think? It makes me a little bit squeamish, I guess, since what we've seen over the last couple of years. But what do you think when you hear that?
Well, I think it's good. I mean, but the question is about usage, right?
Yep.
I mean, having mobility is almost universally a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as you can do the other stuff too. Now, it's not always universally a good thing to run your quarterback a lot, especially because, you know, it's not like Casey Thompson is like a real little guy or something, but he's not built like Adrian Martinez built.
Right.
So I don't think you want him running 15 times a game. They didn't even really want Adrian Martinez running 15 times a game. It happened that way. The thing about this conversation that's interesting is I went back, you know, around the time Mark Whipple got hired, and I watched as much of Pitt this year as I could. And one of the things that sort of caught my attention was how frequently Kenny Pickett made plays outside the pocket.
Yes.
Yeah, he was a pretty darn good runner too, but when you think about Kenny Pickett in the year he had, you don't think about him as like, oh, dual threat quarterback Kenny Pickett. Like, but he's pretty darn mobile. And in fact, I think he ended up accounting for, this is in part because they didn't run the ball all that much, but I think he ended up accounting for like 20% of their rushing attempts or something like that on the year. Maybe it's 20% of their rushing yards. So I think it was attempts. So the point is, it doesn't matter who you are or what system you're in, the ability to extend plays, get outside the pocket, get yards with your legs, if that's what teams are giving to you, all of that is great, and that's a benefit to an offense, even if you're not running, you know, ride zone and speed option and all the stuff that's been, you know, staples really for Nebraska over the last couple of years with Adrian Martinez, or if you're not running them frequently. So
yeah.
I think the mobility, that's great. As long as you don't end up falling into the trap of relying on your quarterback in the run game
that's
as a crutch because you have to.
That's it. That's what I'm worried about. It's the big red button that's underneath the, you know, it's underneath the cover, and Nebraska's had to press that a lot, or have felt like they've needed to press that a lot over the last couple of years. It's the design stuff, right? And the thing with Thompson is, like you mentioned, he's a little bit smaller. Like, you just won't be able to do that as much. But do we trust Nebraska to not? That's kind of the question.
Yeah, it's like when you see, you know, 29 beer commercials during the Super Bowl. What do they all say? They all, you know, please drink responsibly. Please use responsibly. That's like the quarterback run game is kind of like drinking. You know, please use responsibly. But if you overindulge, it might seem great at the moment, but most of the time, only bad stuff's gonna end.
Oh my God, I love that. That's amazing.
I had never considered that until a moment ago, but you brought it out of me.
Wow. That was a great analogy, Parker. Awesome job.
Thank you. Yeah. As I started saying it, I realized, like, wow, this actually fits pretty well.
It could hurt you. It could definitely hurt you in the long run.
It seems great in the moment. You're like, wow, look at this. And then consequences.
Well, the other thing that goes, you know, pretty much parallel to that is how things shape up at running back. And that's a big question mark right now too, because in order to wean yourself off of the quarterback design run game, you have to have a traditional run game that you can lean on a little bit as well. That way you're not going to the quarterback as much. Can they do that? I guess that would kind of be the question. They're going to have, you know, if they bring in another one, they're going to have, what, 7 scholarship running backs at their fingertips, or 6? And
yep.
So, I mean, the room's not empty, but the question is, can they find it?
Right, yeah. So I think, okay, so right now you've got 5 scholarship running backs that'll be here for spring ball. But Gabe Irvin, just given the timing of his knee injury, I think it'd be a surprise if he was a full go for spring ball. You know, maybe he's getting involved a little bit by the time it ends, the spring games, April 9th. But I don't think you're expecting him to be a full participant. So you've got, obviously, Steph and Yance and Ramir Johnson, and then Anthony Grant, the mid-year junior college transfer who ran for 1,700-plus yards for New Mexico Military Institute this past year. And then you've got, you know, you've got another guy in Emmett Johnson who is not a mid-year enrollee. He's the class of 2022 back. And then you've also got, you know, potentially a Jay Allen from Monroe, Louisiana, who's visiting this weekend. And then we don't really know about DeAndre Jackson. I mean, he was supposed to be a mid-year enrollee. His academics at Texas A&M sort of prevented that from happening. It came out very late, like literally he was here and couldn't start classes this week and stay eligible. So, yeah, I mean, if you think the quarterback competition is going to be interesting, which it is, and it's, you know, there's five guys involved or five guys involved once Richard Torres is healthy, like, it sort of also feels like it's going to be the great running back derby of 2022 to try to figure out, you know, who the guy is.
They all have something, too. It's like, you know, Step, we saw some of Step last year. We're wondering about it. Grant is the new guy. Ramir Johnson was the more consistent from last year. We saw flashes of Yance. Irvin was probably the best when healthy, but is he going to be healthy? And Emmett Johnson comes in, too. Like, they all have something.
They do, yeah. Yeah, they do. And so it's going to be interesting to see if you know, the other thing, too, is, you even saw it a little bit the last couple of weeks. I mean, the usage was a little bit different. Now, obviously, Ramir Johnson was hurt, and so you didn't see a ton of him in the last two games. I didn't see him at all the last two games when Ron Brown was sort of running that room. Now Brian Applewhite steps in. You know, how similarly or differently does he view each guy and his skill set?
Yep.
From the way Ryan held it, it's probably going to be different. It might not be radically different, but it's going to be a little bit. And everybody's got a clean slate. And they might not be done adding to that room yet either. So, yeah, there's a lot of question marks. And, you know, you start to get a sense of it probably as spring ball goes, but may not know for sure until August.
We haven't talked about the addition of Chuba yet. Chuba Purdy, they get him from Florida State on Monday, and he took a visit to Oklahoma before that as well. I guess just your thoughts on the room as a whole now. Obviously, like you mentioned, it's going to be a really fun and interesting competition. There's a lot of stuff that each of those guys can kind of offer. I'll ask it this way. Is Purdy a wild card here, or is that – like, would we mark Harburg as the kind of we're not exactly sure what's going to happen with this?
Yeah, I think they both are wild cards, sort of in their own way. The thing with Purdy that we know that Mark Whipple thinks a lot of him. He recruited him out of high school when Purdy ended up going to Florida State. He was recruiting him out of the portal in his last days at Pitt, and then he continued recruiting him out of the portal after he got to Nebraska. So we know that this is a guy who Mark Whipple looks at and thinks, I think this guy can be good. You know, we also think that Heinrich Harburg has a pretty enticing, you know, physical skill set. But they're also at slightly different points in their careers, even though I think technically they'll go into next year being the same class, quote unquote, as sort of odd as that is with COVID and extra eligibility and all that. Like, they're both technically redshirt freshmen, even though Purdy was in Logan Smothers' class at Harvard's. So it's sort of, I think they're the two guys, you know, that could really shake things up. And that's not to discount Logan Smothers in the conversation. It's just that we at least, after this past year, have a little bit more of an idea of where Logan Smothers was at as of November of 2021.
Yeah.
You know, compared really, honestly, to both Harburg and Chuba Purdy. So, you know, there's a couple of questions. One is, can any of those three guys, and we'll see about Torres, you know, once he's fully healthy, but can any of those three guys between Purdy and Smothers and Harburg push a guy who has a lot more playing time than any of them do in Casey Thompson? And then the sort of secondary question to that is, whether the answer to the first question is yes or no, how does that sort of three-man battle, as you can see it behind Thompson or outside of Thompson between three young guys, how does that shake out? And is it as simple as Mark Whipple's always liked Chuba Purdy and there's a reason for that, and at the end of the day, he's right about that? Or is it not quite that simple and one of those other guys makes a run? It's going to be super interesting, and it's sort of a multi-level conversation.
Yeah, if you're asking me right now, I wouldn't be able to ink it. Like, I wouldn't be able to write it in pen that Purdy's number two.
No way. In fact, I don't think so either. I mean, I really think, and maybe we talked about this a couple weeks ago, like, Chuba Purdy and Logan Smothers, maybe not from a skill set standpoint, but just from a college quarterback standpoint, they played a similar amount.
Yep.
They each have one start. They've each played in reserve in a couple of games, handful of games. And their numbers are kind of similar. So while you look at it and you say, maybe Purdy might have a little bit better arm, maybe Smothers a little bit better runner, at the end of the day, Mark Whipple has talked about building systems around quarterbacks and not vice versa. And so I don't think, like, clearly, the only mark I think you could give in Purdy's advantage or to Purdy's advantage is just simply that Mark Whipple recruited him and didn't recruit Logan Smothers. That's the only thing you can say. But you don't know what that counts for once they're under the same roof and trying to learn the same system and, you know, impress the same coach.
Yeah, I feel like we've said this a lot over the last several years, but should be an interesting spring. That much is
very
sure.
Interesting.
All right, Parker, we'll let you go. Appreciate your time as always, and drink responsibly.
Yeah, thanks. And, you know, run your quarterback responsibly as well.
See ya. That's Parker Gabriel from the Lincoln Journal Star. Great stuff from him, as always. Fantastic analogy. Very jealous I didn't come up with it.
I like that he ran with it.
Yes.
Before fleshing it out, and as he's
like, this speaking, is making more sense.
Like, oh yes, this does actually work. Okay.
Oh, I've done that before, and it's led me to some very questionable analogies.
I just like that he went off the cliff.
Yep.
Without knowing.
He dove right in. We'll take a break. We'll tell you what to watch as we round things out next on the Connor Hamper Show on 1620 The Zone.